we have as a group designed a regional project that we've all become involved in. This represents scientists from across the Midwest, but it's not just a Midwest regional project, it's also international in scope. So there's a lot of authors here represented. And again, as I mentioned last year, I'm just the fortunate soul that gets to stand up here and act as a pseudo-representative of the group. So the goal today is to go through some of what we're finding within this regional research project that we're evaluating these various corn algorithms that have been developed at a diverse number of entities. That includes land-grant universities, it includes ARS facilities, and how well do these algorithms that have been generated in these small geographic areas, how well can they be applied across a wide geographic range, not just conducting this work in the United States, but including Canada, including Mexico, and including Argentina as well. So as an introduction, there are several of these sensor-based algorithms, and my suspicion is most of the individuals in this room have been to several of these sessions in the past. My goal today is not to cover all of the algorithms. I wouldn't have time. 15 minutes would not be enough. In fact, 2 hours would not be enough. I'm operating under the assumption that a great majority of the individuals in the audience have understanding of how these algorithms function, at least generally. Some are published. Some of these algorithms have found the scientific literature. A couple have been reviewed, been accepted, and they have not yet been published. So for those of you who aren't intimately involved in algorithm development, this is going to be a little bit out of the box, and you're not necessarily going to understand how these different algorithms relate to each other. All right, that's going to be up to you to go find out how these algorithms do differ. And while these algorithms do function differently in the method in which they try to define a nitrogen rate, there is one commonality that links them all, and that one commonality is the reference strip, and the reference strip, the nitrogen-rich strip concept. Allowing the plant to express to us, as agronomists, some information about what's going on in the soil, and taking that information, integrating it into canopy development, and allowing us to go in with a sensor and capture that information and get some indication as to what rate of nitrogen should we apply. And as I said, all of these functions, all of these algorithms go about different manners to come up with the same, or trying to attempt to come up with a similar answer. Okay, and we have lengthy discussions of how these different algorithms relate to each other. And again, that's not the focus of today. These are just the universities and the entities that currently have algorithms, whether published in a scientific journal or published in more of an extension type publication as a fact sheet or a bulletin. And I am going to talk a little bit about the one down here at the very end. This is the Ohio State algorithm, which is not really the Ohio State algorithm. It's simply a simple derivation of what Oklahoma State has done. And I'm probably going to spend the bulk of my time explaining how this new algorithm looks different, because I think, at least for those of us who utilize yield goal-based algorithms, this will give us, at least in my mind and based on the data, give us a little bit better indication of identifying responsiveness in season, which is what all of these algorithms are at least somewhat based upon or strongly based upon. It's the concept, can we go in mid-season and identify crop response to nitrogen and make a decision? But you have to be able to identify crop response. And you're going to see that as we proceed through. Now the OSU, and notice that I didn't try to differentiate this from the Oklahoma State. That was purposeful on my part, because it is simply a derivation of what Bill and the group at Oklahoma State have done over the last 12 years. It's a yield goal-based prediction model, very similar to theirs. The primary difference is that I use the inverse simple ratio rather than NDVI. Okay, and I really came to this conclusion based on some of the conversations that I've had with Newell Kitchen at University of Missouri. It's actually with ARS, and some of the work that he's done with Peter. And coming to the realization that NDVI doesn't necessarily always give us the best indication of identifying nitrogen response. Sometimes we struggle with NDVI to parse out crop response. So from what I learned from Newell and the algorithm they have developed, could we possibly be using inverse simple ratio to do a better job of delineating response in season with our sensors? And that's the primary difference between what I am proposing and showing today and what Bill Ron has done and the group at Oklahoma State has done over the last 12 years. We're not talking about a quantum leap ahead here. We're just talking about a small step. And you can decide for yourself at the end of this if it was even warranted for the discussion. The current NDVI calculation, for those who aren't well-versed in the language of algorithms, specifically as it relates to yield goal-based algorithms, which include Oklahoma State and Virginia Tech, RINDVI is simply going out there with a sensor, collecting canopy measure, canopy NDVI values from the reference and from the unfertilized, that being a check, or that which is fertilized at a lower rate of nitrogen. And coming up with a mathematical computation that's going to tell us something about responsiveness. Okay? Values typically greater than 1, all the way up to 3. And we can argue about how high those potentially could go, but that's, in my experience, it's typically between 1 and 3. And the goal, and again, the goal is to identify in-season responsiveness. This is why we're doing it. This proposed RI calculation that I'm going to be talking about this afternoon is using inverse simple ratio rather than NDVI. Now, mathematically, what does that mean? This value is going to be less than 1. For those of us, again, well-versed in the language of vegetative indices, inverse simple ratio actually responds in the opposite direction that NDVI does. Okay? So as more biomass, more nitrogen accumulated in the above ground biomass, NDVI goes higher. Inverse simple ratio goes the opposite direction. Don't be afraid of that. If you like, I can take the inverse in the inverse simple ratio and I can give it to you greater than 1. But I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to muddy the waters any more than they already are. And for clarification, again, the goal is, can I identify response at the end of the season based on an in-sensor measure or in-season measure? So I have to have something to correlate against to see if I did a reasonably good job of doing that. And for what we've done historically, my work at Oklahoma State as a graduate student, some of the follow-up work that's occurred at Virginia Tech and some of the other universities, that's relating that in-season response index to something that we measure at harvest. And that being the yield difference between, in this case, the maximum agronomic yield based on the yield prediction model, or the relating the N rate to the response, that response function, using the simple calculus, coming up with what is the agronomic optimum rate and correspondingly what's the maximum yield produced, dividing that by the intercept. Because all of these locations do have true zeros. They do have true checks. That's how we calculate the response index at harvest. And then it's simply a mathematical or a regression technique of showing the relationship between the two. And as you can see, this is 22 sites, 22 trials. This is the RI-NDVI that you see on the X, and this is RI-harvest that you see on the Y. Now, there's two different data sets that I included in this evaluation. One was the NDVI check. And that is calculating that response index based on the check, not the 40-pound target that we've traditionally used. Okay, looking at that check. And there's a reason for doing that. And we've had this discussion in this regional group since its existence, is are we masking some of the responsiveness by having that 40-pound pre-plant or 40-pound planter treatment going out there at the same time? Are we masking some of that responsiveness, especially early season? And I think what you're going to see in the next slide is that, in fact, we probably are. And that it decreases our ability to truly evaluate responsiveness. That we lose some of that information when we put that 40-pound pre-plant out there. Now, the implications beyond this scientific discussion are not trivial. And the implications are trying to convince producers and clientele to apply a zero-in reference. Does that seem like a little bit of a problem as it relates to extending this type of information? I think it's pretty sizable. Now, I will say this, Virginia Tech has had some success with this already. Okay, maybe they're the model that we can use. But getting back to the data, the correlation between RI-NDVI and RI-harvest for the check, that being the red diamonds, R-squared of 0.39. Not a very great relationship. Okay. When I use the RI-NDVI based on the 40-pound as my denominator for that calculation of NDVI or calculation of RI, it gets even worse. Okay, now this is the same data. I don't want you to look at this next slide and say this guy's full of crap, he massaged the data and he came up with this new regression model that in no way represents what he just showed in the last slide. It's the same data set. Okay? If you use inverse simple ratio to compute response index, correlate that with RI harvest, what happens? Our ability to identify those responsive locations improves. The R-square improves. Now, you see this, and for those who are involved in the regional project, there's actually 23 sites in this data analysis. I've conveniently omitted one, and here's why. There was one site. Strangely enough, it was in Northwest Ohio, and it in no way, shape, or fashion fits the rest of this data set. We always like to come up with a possible reason for that one site not matching or meshing with everything else. And in 2006, Northwest Ohio was a relatively wet year. We didn't see response in season at V8 when we went in with our sensors, but there sure as heck was a response at the end of the year. And in fact, it was over 2. Okay? So I'm not going to stand up here and propose that this is, now I will say this, if I went back 2 slides, that RINDVI also had this site omitted. All right? So I wasn't biasing it to show that this one appears to do a better job of predicting response. So one site didn't quite match, and that's just a challenge to us to try to identify why didn't it, and is there any other information that we can take into account to help us identify those sites? Because that's going to be critical, obviously, because one failure like this, this whole thing dies. Now, proceeding on, if I don't use the check, which is what I had just shown you, that was response index based upon inverse simple ratio using the check in the denominator. What if I use the 40? What happens to my ability to predict response? That's represented by the yellow squares. It goes down. And if you really look at the data, if you spend some time looking at this, now granted, the slopes of these two lines are very similar. But notice that there is a lot more scatter above that data point, which results in the lower R square. I don't do as good a job of identifying responsiveness if I have that 40 in the denominator. And I think based on some of the conversations that we've had in this group, what Virginia Tech has done, using that check in the denominator for that computation of RI, I'm starting to get the suspicion this is going to be very critical. Again, to allow us to really evaluate response, because it is masked when we include that 40-pound or whatever pre-plant rate that we apply. Interestingly, a lot of these correlations were done across a very, very wide, growth stages. All the way from V4, which is what I start with a lot of my data at V4, and progress up to V8. And a lot of those points fell on the same line. Now, I know that Missouri's algorithm takes different vegetative states or growth stages into account in their algorithm. Based on this data, the 22 sites that I have in this analysis, I'm not sure that we necessarily have to do that. That's going to be based on the additional data that we have coming in this year. Now, I have all of about a minute to discuss this regional project. At least I showed data this year, okay, for those who saw me last year. All of this data from this regional project is included. There was no way that I was going to get through all this because I wanted to have this discussion on this response index, which I've discovered in the last 3 weeks. They don't let me change that abstract or the title summary 3 weeks ago. They kind of like those locked in. Do we have any questions? Just so you see all the slides. If you're interested, please go to this webpage, take a look at this presentation, because it's going to tell you all the data that we collected from those, from the algorithm trials that were put out by all the states. And the one thing that we're trying to stress within this, it's not that one algorithm is better than another. It's which one is going to work the best across the most environments, not even to that point. My suspicion, there's going to be some regional specificity with these algorithms. I do want to thank Fluid Fertilizer Foundation because they did fund at least some of the work that we did in Ohio. And I do want to thank all the individuals that are involved in this project. Your cooperation is very much appreciated. And I have no time for questions.
One question.
Yes, Dr. Phillips.
Shouldn't you call it BOSU algorithm?
That's valid point. Do we have time for me to be comical? Well taken. We can call theirs the, and we are the. I learned this week that's the difference. That's the Oklahoma State University. I work for the Ohio State. There's a subtle difference in how that article is stated.
Do you have the website?
It'll be on this webpage if you like. Dr. Ron is the king of hosting.
What webpage? I haven't seen a webpage.
I was referring to the ASA webpage. I was referring to the ASA. If you like, I'll put it on my webpage. I would appreciate the hits.
Sure.